Hello, this is Dr. Adam Splaver, and this is Warrior Health. And today we're going to speak about nutrition. Yes, nutrition. That topic of conversation that I'm sure is something that each and every one of us needs to take hold of, because without eating properly, our machine, our body, will not function appropriately. And today, actually, I have something new for you. I have a guest. I have Suzanne Fisher. Susie Fisher used her expertise as a registered dietitian and licensed nutritionist, as well as over 25 years of experience in weight loss management, nutritional counseling, meal planning, and recipe creation, coupled with her passion for technology to build Fisher Nutrition Systems. With a Bachelor of Science in Dietetics and Nutrition and Masters of Science in Nutrition and Exercise Physiology, Suzanne has an extensive expertise as a consultant to leading organizations in their nutritional systems. Some of her well-known clients have included nationally recognized nutrition software companies, the Miami City Ballet, and Powerhouse Gym. Susie is a subject matter expert and is frequently taped for on-air appearance for her nutrition expertise by South Florida news outlets such as WPLG, Local 10, WPTV, Palm Beach, Six in the Mix, which is NBC of South Florida. Her meal planning products and nutrition insights have also been featured in Prevention, Reader's Digest, Glamour, and Self magazines. Hi, Susie.
Hey, Adam. How are you?
It's awesome having you here.
So good to be here.
So Susie and I actually go way back. We used to work together many, many moons ago.
Oh, yes.
And I was enamored by her ability to pull in a lot of subject material and synthesize it for her client in a very tailored and very personalized way. And maybe you want to talk about a little bit yourself and what you do.
Sure. I am a registered dietitian, as Adam said before. I'm also licensed in Florida, Georgia, and Texas. So I work with a variety of clients all over the country. And my main focus right now is my meal planning software company, which we provide meal planning for people of all different shapes and sizes. We have all different types of meal plans, and it makes, you know, being able to eat healthy very simple, easy, and on the go with our mobile app. So that's really what I'm doing right now.
That's awesome. I mean, as long as we're able to at least simplify the whole idea of nutrition,
yes,
and get people in more into being more mindful with what they're eating, it's actually a recipe for success.
I agree 100%. And I'm a huge advocate of people journaling, writing down what they're eating. I think when you put it into black and white, all of a sudden you're really seeing what you're eating. And that's really how you can easily make some changes. And it could be something minor. You don't have to go on any crazy fad like cabbage diet, or I remember the rice diet.
Yeah,
and
all those different diets. The grapefruit and egg diet.
The grapefruit and egg diet. I remember all those crazy diets when I was growing up. You don't have to do anything crazy and radical in order to lose some weight. It could be one minor change in your life that could actually start the ball rolling and really change your lifestyle.
I actually like that because, you know, I tell my patients that diet is a four-letter word.
Yes, it can be.
It's all about lifestyle.
It really is. I had a client yesterday, and one thing when she used the word, I want to change my lifestyle, that's how I knew that she was being really serious. It wasn't that my goal is to lose, you know, 50 pounds or to do X, Y, Z, and it wasn't some silly goal. She really wanted to change her lifestyle, and that's what I try to do on a daily basis with everyone that I come across.
Well, that's really the bottom line, because a lot of times, you know, if you say, hey, I want to lose like 20 pounds, 30 pounds, generally people can do it.
Of course.
The question is can you sustain that? Can you maintain that?
Exactly. And it's learning the techniques of how you can sustain that. And if you get somebody on a healthy type of meal plan and something that works for their lifestyle and for their schedule, I think that's really part of the goal too, is if you're giving somebody a plan that works for you personally but doesn't work for your client, they're not going to follow it.
No.
You have to know what's going on in their life and their schedule and set it around
100%.
Their goals.
I mean, there's so many patients of mine who, like, for example, who, you know, you want to sit down and give them recipes and give them ideas. It turns out that they're traveling all the time and they don't cook.
Correct.
So that the giving a recipe ain't going to help.
No, it will not help. And in that case, what I love to work with people is teaching them about portion control, because I think you can take a lesson like portion control or exchange lists type of a thing. You know, the exchange list that we used to use with the diabetics, taking that kind of a knowledge and understanding, okay, eating the size of the palm of your hand or the size of a fist would be about a cup of cooked pasta or rice, and using everyday items, you can go into any restaurant in the world and know the proper portion to eat and how much food to consume in that meal.
Well, it's funny you just mentioned pasta. You know, pasta and carbs have been all, demonized.
Pasta.
Oh, I like pasta. I love pasta, too.
I love it.
But they've been demonized.
Everyone
has been out there saying that the carbs are bad for you and carbs are evil and carbs cause weight gain. Now, in your medical or your dietitian opinion, do carbs make us fat?
They do not. I eat a lot of carbs, and I know Adam can see me, but you guys cannot. I probably weigh, should I tell them how much? Under 90 pounds.
But also, how tall are you?
I'm only 4'10". I'm very petite.
She's tiny. I can throw her over my shoulder and carry 300 pounds in addition to that.
Yes, you definitely could. But my point is that I do eat carbs and I still can maintain a healthy physique and stay within my weight goals. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it also is portion control and which carbs are you consuming. Mm-hmm. There's different types of carbs. We have your simple sugars, your processed carbs, which are your white flours, your white bread, your white rice, obviously cookies, cakes, candy. Those are the ones that I recommend people avoiding and really just swapping out for more whole grains.
Correct.
Exactly. And complex, go for the whole wheat pasta. And now they have pasta that's made with chickpeas and quinoa.
Exactly.
And they're super high in protein. So there's so many great options.
Well, you know what? I was wondering, because I kind of come to the conclusion that you really can't demonize one type of food. And it really also depends on the metabolism, the makeup of the person that's consuming them.
I agree 100%. I remember back in the day, the big thing was low fat.
Yeah.
Now we know that was really,
really wrong.
Really stupid advice.
Wrong, because they were carb full.
Oh my gosh. What they were doing was swapping out the fat for sugar. And you were getting, I think, the Snackwell cookies. Remember the era of the Snackwell cookies?
Yeah.
I hate to admit, I did buy the Snackwell cookies. I was actually in dietetic school and we used to always have those Snackwell cookies in the house because I, of course, was taught at that time, eat low fat.
Yeah.
But we were demonizing fat, and I am an advocate of eating a variety of foods. I don't demonize any foods with my clients. Mm-hmm. But if a client will come to me, for example, and say, look, I want to follow more of a ketogenic type of a diet, we'll develop a meal plan that is more of a ketogenic type of a meal plan if that's something that they prefer to do. But I'm not going to demonize any one specific food group because every food group has different nutrients and phytochemicals in them
that can actually be beneficial to your
exactly
metabolism.
Exactly.
It's interesting that you brought up fats, and
I love fat too.
Fats are awesome, but not all fats are created equal.
No.
Can you talk to me a little bit about different types of fats and what's good, what's not good, what's evil, what's bad?
Again, I don't have anything specifically evil. I think
there's evil out there.
Yeah,
I can tell you.
The trans fats are probably up there with the evilness, I would say. But not a lot of food has the trans fat anymore in it. If maybe pastry items, mm-hmm, or baked goods, you go into some fast food restaurants, which is the one food I definitely recommend my clients do avoid at all costs, if possible. But they still possibly use trans fatty acids. I know sat fats have been demonized also.
Correct.
And there's very varying studies about saturated fats.
There are.
I still recommend, I know that one, that interesting egg study just came out, demonizing eggs again.
I've gotten so many calls about that one too.
I'm sure you did. I wrote a long Facebook post about that, and I still recommend that people consume eggs and actually read these studies, mm-hmm, and see how flawed some of these studies are.
It's true. You know, a lot of these studies, as wonderful as they may sound on paper, when you get to the nitty gritty of how they were designed.
Correct.
And how much can be left up to the discretion of the patient, the test subject.
That's right.
And not being followed, then it really throws all the data off.
It did. And I recommend eggs for my patients. I think they're such a great source of protein and other nutrients. So
in terms of saturated fats, mm-hmm, and trans fats, aren't there some natural saturated fats that are actually good for you?
Yes, there's coconut oil and there are plant-based and palm oil. Those are more plant-based type of fats, and I do incorporate those in my daily diet. Mm-hmm. And I also recommend if somebody prefers to use something like coconut coconut oil in their diet. Nothing wrong with that. It's got a great high smoke point. So you could actually cook and fry things in it where you can't do that with olive oil.
That's correct. And also avocados are awesome.
Oh, avocados are the best. And I probably eat at least one avocado a day. So I eat a lot of fat too. So I guess my diet is fat and carbs. I don't know how good that is actually.
What about the protein? Where's the protein in your diet?
I do eat protein. As I was telling Adam previously, I'm not a big meat eater. I never really have been. So I do get a lot of protein from plant-based foods, again, from beans, carb sources, pastas, but I do eat eggs. I love eggs. I do eat dairy, tofu. I do eat some soy and tempeh and things like that. Mm-hmm. I know Adam's not a huge fan of soy, but I do eat soy products as long as it's organic. I make sure it's GMO free and organic.
That's good.
Very important. But that's where I get my protein sources from, mostly plant-based foods.
That's awesome. Well, the question also I wanted to know was actually getting back to fast foods. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times people are out there, they're traveling, they're going places, and the only option that's available to them is, you know, jumping into, you know, one of these fast food restaurants.
Yes.
What can one do if you're stuck and you need to eat something?
That's such a good question. And if you do need to go into a fast food restaurant, there are some healthier options. Most of the fast food type restaurants, they do have salads. I recommend getting the lighter dressing if you have to. Try to get something with some grilled chicken on it versus the fried chicken. Some of them come with nuts. Put the nuts on top of it. And believe it or not, the kids' meals or the junior hamburgers, they're really not that horrible when you look at the macronutrients and the nutritional breakdowns of some of these food, of some of the little sandwiches, the kids' meals. And a lot of the kids' meals actually come with fruit, with applesauce and with fruit juice instead of soda. So
you're basically telling me to get the Happy Meal.
Get a Happy Meal without the fries.
Without the fries.
But yes, you can get grilled chicken also, but some of the smaller or even a plain hamburger tends to not be as bad. If you go into a Mexican place, get a taco. They have chicken tacos, bean tacos, those type of things.
That's awesome.
Aren't terrible to eat if you're in a pinch.
So what's a good point of advice for parents out there in terms of how should we teach our kids in terms of how to eat properly and healthily?
That's a good question too. And again, I think the first thing is not to demonize food with your kids. I think it could set them up for so many problems, especially girls later in life. We need to be really careful the message that we're sending our children. Especially us moms out there, we need to not use the F word. Fat.
Oh, I was thinking of a different F word. Sorry, we're on the Warrior Network here, and the F word can mean something else.
No, it's fat. I am fat. Do I look fat? I feel fat. You can't feel fat. Fat is not an actual feeling. Fat is actually a type of a macronutrient. So I try to tell people to be so careful what you're saying in front of your children, mm-hmm. how you're eating in front of your children. And I think if you're consuming a healthy, balanced, varied diet, your kids are going to model what you're doing.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of high sugar foods, but again, you don't want to deny children regular kid food.
Yeah.
I would lie if I said my kids didn't go trick-or-treating on Halloween and I didn't put bags of chips in their lunch boxes because all their friends had it and I didn't want them to feel
left out, different.
And did I want them to become closet eaters and go to a friend's house and binge on those foods? No. So my kids learned how to manage their intake around unhealthy foods and have it in moderation. And that's what we also need to do as adults. We need to learn how to eat unhealthy foods in moderation.
That's very true. I mean, if you look at just American society and what we see on TV and all the newspapers and all the magazines, how body image is a very, very, very big influence. Not only to ourselves as adults, but even to our kids.
Exactly.
It's important for us to set that healthy example.
I agree. And, especially when your kids turn to being teenagers and they're looking at fashion magazines and what they're seeing is all Photoshop, but they don't know that. So what they're seeing isn't real. So I think if we're modeling good, positive body image and healthy nutrition at home, that's what they should be following, not what they see on TV or in a magazine.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Really, our job as parents is to lead appropriately, to teach appropriately.
Correct. Yep.
And by doing a good example is just one way we can do that.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
So you brought up something earlier that I wanted to delve into a little bit.
What?
I wanted to talk to you about dairy.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Can we mention the D word?
The D word. I know dairy is very demonized as well. Yeah. I don't have too much of an issue with dairy. I know some people can have some issues with dairy. Again, when I see clients, I try not to put my own personal views of food on them. I actually don't drink dairy milk. Mm-hmm. I drink alternative milk sources.
Almond milk, cashew milk.
I do drink soy milk, but I love nut-based milks. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually drink dairy milk, but I don't see anything wrong with including something like a good Greek yogurt or a skyr yogurt into the diet. They're such good sources of protein.
Exactly.
And if you're a woman too, to prevent osteoporosis of getting your calcium in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. I mean, it's interesting, you know, we're talking about this. One of the things that I've always had fears about with dairy products is, you know, hormones and antibiotics.
You want to get the cheese or any of the dairy products that don't have RBST, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And it's that hormone.
Bovine growth hormone, I think
exactly.
It is.
Correct. So you want to actually read the labels, and most cheeses and most dairy products do not contain that hormone anymore. You just have to read the labels. Mm-hmm. I know most large supermarket chains and the better quality cheeses, like an Applegate type of a cheese, is not going to have that bovine hormone in it.
That's awesome.
You just have to read labels.
So that begs the question that many of us ask, you know, organic versus non-organic.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on those types of differentiation of where you source your food from?
I think, again, it's a personal choice. There are certain foods that I do recommend that, especially berries and peppers and certain produce items, I do recommend that people buy them organic if they can afford it. And if it's within their budget, if fresh is not an option, they can always buy frozen organic. I don't know if you need to buy 100% organic in your diet. I don't think that's realistic and probably not financially feasible for a lot of people. So I think, I don't know off the top of my head, I think it's the 12 dirty items. Yeah. I know strawberries and berries and peppers are on that list.
I think apples are on there too.
Yeah, apples, potatoes, I think might be on that list. I don't remember off the top of my head. I hate that I don't remember all of them, but I don't remember off the top of my head, but those, you could Google it. I mean, it's easy to Google it. It's easy.
The dirty dozen.
I would stick with those and as much organic produce as you can buy. I know in my house, we do buy all our greens are organic. Mm. If you're going to buy soy, you want to make sure it's GMO free and soy free. That is one. I don't mess for organic soy and GMO free soy. That's awesome. The one thing I don't. So purchase.
Another thing I wanted to talk to you about is the whole concept of a wheat-free or gluten-free type diet.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on those?
I'm glad you brought that up. Probably a couple of years ago, everybody went gluten-free. And they all believed, again, it was a fad diet, that you needed to go, if you went gluten-free, you were going to magically lose weight. Mm-hmm. You really only need to go gluten-free if you have celiac disease, which only a very small percentage of the population actually have celiac. There is another part of the population that
are sensitive
to it. And I do recommend for my autoimmune patients, because it can be inflammatory. Mm-hmm. So I do recommend that someone who has an autoimmune or an inflammatory type of an issue, that they do go gluten-free. And I have had some really good results with that. But if you have no medical issues and no GI issues, sometimes if you have IBS, you may want to try to go gluten-free and see if that helps. But there's really no reason to go gluten-free. But as a side note, there are some really good gluten-free products out there that are super high in protein, like certain pastas that we mentioned, that if you're going to consume pasta, you can go for the gluten-free ones and have an increased amount of protein in them.
Yeah.
And fiber as well. So why not?
Which is an awesome option.
Exactly.
So getting back to fish, actually. I wanted to talk to you about fish.
Yes.
Not getting back to. We've really never discussed any of it.
I know. We didn't even bring up fish yet.
So I want to talk to you about... Let's talk fish.
Let's talk fish, especially since my last name is Fisher.
Oh, boy. Anyway, my question for you is farm-raised versus wild,
right?
Tilapia. What are your thoughts on all these types of different, you know, labels and methods of raising fish and bringing fish to the market?
Yeah, I mean, if you can, I do recommend purchasing wild fish. Again, you know, cost is a huge issue for a lot of clientele and a lot of people out there. If cost is a huge issue and they cannot buy fresh wild fish, I'd rather they at least eat some sort of fish product. Not a huge fan of tilapia.
Why?
You know, a lot of it is very farmed. It's not the healthiest product out there. There isn't a ton of nutritional value. Plus, to be honest, it's really bland.
It's a very bland fish.
It doesn't taste good. So why would we even bother eating it? There's flounder and snapper and there's so
salmon
many. There's salmon and mackerel, which is a great source of heart healthy fat and part of the Mediterranean diet. And I don't know. I'm just not a fan. To me, tilapia is like a dirtier fish. I'm putting, you can see people can't see, I'm putting quotes around that.
Yeah, I know
they can't see me. I'm on a podcast here. But I would say go for healthier type fish. You know, tuna is a great option. And again, if you cannot afford fresh fish, there's canned. You can always do the canned fish. Or frozen, exactly. If you go to most supermarkets, I know I'm a huge Trader Joe's fan. That's like my place, my happy place. They have wild Alaskan salmon. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I've cooked it before in a pinch. It's really good.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that as an option. So you can buy wild fish at a lower price point. You just have to look for it.
So if there are three things we can ask our audience to take home with them today, what would you say those three things are?
Ooh, putting me on the spot here.
I'm putting you on the spot. I know you can do it because I believe in you.
I can do it. I'm thinking. I would definitely say number one, eat in moderation. I think, you know, just watching your portion sizes and that goes into eating in moderation is super important as well. Eating a balanced and varied diet, I think, is so important. And in that vein, eating your colors, making sure that you're eating brightly colored fruits and vegetables. You know, I have a lot of clients or friends that come to me and they, again, demonize a lot of food. That's gonna be my point number three, don't demonize food. And they're really cutting out so many key foods that really
are important to their metabolism.
Exactly.
They're important to their well-being.
They're also important to their well-being, taking such important phytonutrients. They're preventing diseases and their cancer prevention and preventing heart disease and diabetes. And they're missing out on so many delicious food items too.
They are.
So I think those are my three things, really.
That's really awesome. Susie, I want to thank you so much for stopping by today in my
studio.
You're
so welcome. I loved it. I had a great time.
And it's been awesome seeing you. And today, I guess we've dealt with the topic of nutrition, and this is Dr. Adam Splaver and
Susie Fisher
with Warrior Health.